still come back to what I thought from the very beginning. If anybody asks me why, it's Indiana. It's Indiana.
Welcome back, Hoosier fans, to another edition of Podcast on the Brink. Matt Dollinger here. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Greg Rosenstein. How you doing today, Greg?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. We are coming off Indiana's 75-56 victory over North Carolina Central. Got two guests on the show to talk about that and this weekend game against Minnesota.
Yeah, we have Amelia Reno, who is the Minneapolis Star Tribune beat reporter covering the Gophers. And we also have Louisville Courier-Journal columnist Rick Bozich.
The second Bozich to appear on this podcast.
Probably the better Bozich, but...
Yeah, that went without saying a little bit. Well, Greg, let's go ahead and start off with Wednesday night's game. Hoosiers got back in the win column, though, against a much inferior opponent. What did you think of the game?
To be completely honest, and hopefully this doesn't kill any credibility, I did not really see much of the game.
You didn't have much to begin with, so
I saw a little bit of the, it wasn't on TV, so I kind of watched a little bit of the first half at 11 o'clock or whatever it was, and then I just realized this is North Carolina Central, this is basically pointless, so let's move on.
Yeah, that's something we could talk with Bozich later about. What can you take away from a game like this? You know, middle of Big Ten season, you play a cupcake of a team, and it was a game IU was obviously going to win, but the question is, were they going to get better in it? And I don't know, Christian Watford's performance, definitely the most disheartening, 0-for-8. You thought this might be a game he could bounce back in, but Will Sheehy played well, a couple other guys also had good games, and I think it's just more important than anything for the Hoosiers not to have a loss going into this game against Minnesota, so maybe there's some things they can take away in that perspective.
Yeah, it's good that they kind of bounced back, got a win, so they're not coming off of a loss like they did against Iowa going into Minnesota. At the same time, it's like facing varsity basketball teams for 2 months and then just facing the JV squad. Like, what are you going to really get out of it?
Yeah, it was a glorified scrimmage.
I mean, to be honest, it is a little discomforting looking at Watford's stats and saying he only scored 2 points against North Carolina Central. You know, you wanted him to break out at some point before this Big Ten play gets back into it. And I don't know, that's a little cause for concern for me.
Yeah, you know, Tom Crean wrote it off after the game saying that he was impressed with other things Watford did besides scoring. You know, everyone's going to judge him by points, but there's other things that have taken a factor. But truth of the matter is, Christian Watford isn't going to have a good game if he's only scoring 2 points. I don't care what else he's doing. And I think the fact is that he's going through a little slump right now, just as we saw with Jordy Hulls recently. But, you know, Hulls went 2 of 3 last night. Not a great game, but a little bit back on the wagon. And I'm pretty sure we're going to see the same from Watford in a game or two, just going through a little tough spell right now.
Agreed. I do think he's going to bounce back. He has done it in the past. You know, he's had a couple, you know, a few game rut like this. I wouldn't be surprised if he came back and had a big performance against Minnesota. He's a guy that you really do need to count on, you know, on the offensive end to score. And, you know, when you're only scoring 2 points against North Carolina Central, that's not a good thing. At the same time, I mean, you're getting confidence out of a game like this, but I really don't know how much you could kind of take out of beating up on North Carolina Central.
And now Indiana's got to go to Minnesota this weekend, a team they lost against last month in Bloomington just by 3 points, but the Gophers definitely showed that they are a tough opponent, and it'll be interesting to see if the Hoosiers can, you know, bounce back. Will they be able to take any momentum from North Carolina Central, or do you think they're going to kind of revert back to their losing ways the game before?
I think this game could be pretty tough, just like basically any Big Ten game is. They have good players, especially a guy really like Roddy Williams, who is probably the most improved player in the Big Ten, or at least one of them. You don't know what you're going to maybe get out of this Minnesota team also, because they were about to beat Michigan State last night and somehow just blew up and had a major disaster at the end and lost to the Spartans in a game that they definitely should have won. So I don't know what their confidence is going to be like when they just kind of came off of a pretty bad loss like that. I think it's going to be tough. To be honest, I think I don't even know which way to go just based on how Indiana plays on the road.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and bring in our first guest and talk a little bit more about that. When we come back from the break, Rick Bozich from the Louisville Courier-Journal. All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. We are very excited to talk to our first guest today. He is a longtime sports columnist for the Louisville Courier-Journal and knows as much about the Hoosiers as anyone, Rick Bozich. How you doing today, Rick?
I'm doing great. I'm an IDS 1974-75 sports editor, and I just got off the phone with Dan Barrero, who's the IDS sports editor 1977, and is currently up in Minneapolis at KFAN. So we've been talking Indiana basketball and Minnesota basketball, and IU goes up there on Sunday.
Indiana Daily Student representing. It's good to have another alum on the show.
three sports editors together again.
That's right.
How about, I was back in the days of Bruce Newman. Do you remember him? He went directly from the IDS to Sports Illustrated. He was the man back in the day.
Oh, I'm guessing we all used the same computers, even though we were separated by a couple of years.
We had typewriters back then, guys.
Okay, well, we hooked up the typewriters to computer screens, I think. That was our method. Well, Rick, we wanted to start off talking to you a little bit about the job Tom Crean's done this year. I was watching your Twitter last night, and you retweeted a tweet from ESPN's Dan Shulman, who was wondering if Tom Crean should be Coach of the Year this year. What do you think about that? Do you think he deserves a little bit of consideration for that award, considering the job he's done in Bloomington?
I think he absolutely deserves consideration. If you go back and look at the storyline coming into the season, I mean, Jeff Goodman of CBS Sports had him number one on the list of coaches on the hot seat. And you had a lot of people that were writing about, you know, whether Tom Crean was going to make it at IU. And he eliminated that storyline early with the work he did with this team, not only winning that game at Evansville, and then he beat Butler, and then he beat Kentucky and NC State and Notre Dame, which has turned out to be, you know, the second or third best team in the Big East. And then beat Ohio State, He's built this program up in a way where there's a foundation. He's turned the recruiting around where there's kids in the state of Indiana that want to go to IU, and he's done it in terms of uniting the fan base and brought back a number of former players. So I think he's hit things almost in every direction.
Entering this season, most thought that this, you know, could potentially be an NCAA tournament team, more than likely an NIT-type squad. I mean, what were your expectations going in? Are you surprised at how good they are this year compared to maybe what people thought was going to happen next year?
I have a college roommate, and we talk about IU basketball, you know, too much. and during the all summer long, I looked at the non-conference part of the schedule, and we picked those five games, which were at Evansville, at NC State, Kentucky and Butler at home, and Notre Dame, and thought if they won three of those games, they're having a pretty good year. They won all five, and that was impressive. And they, as you know, against North Carolina Central, they finished out the non-conference part of the season 5-0. And they've got quality wins. Yeah, there have been a couple games that they lost that you would think they shouldn't have lost, which Minnesota at home and at Nebraska, they gave that game away, and they didn't really play well against Iowa last Sunday, but overall, more pluses than minuses, and they're in fifth place in the Big Ten. I think I've gone back and looked at Basketball Times, had them 11th. Lindy's had them 10th. They've exceeded what most people have thought about them, and I was thinking, 18 and 13. That's what I thought it would be this year.
Yeah, and I was even lower on that part of the spectrum. I thought the Hoosiers were looking at a 500 year, and you know, now they've got a resume that's very impressive going into the conference tournament a little bit. And I think it's actually a little more impressive than the teams playing right now. They are kind of in the middle of a slump. But one thing I wanted to ask you about, Rick, is the fact that the Hoosiers were able to run the non-conference slate this year undefeated for the first time since 1989. And while that is very impressive, it wasn't exactly against the toughest non-conference schedule. This is something we see a lot of good teams do, including Kentucky, a team close to you down there. Do you think this is a good thing, for college basketball teams in general to do, to play easy non-conference schedules and have a great record? Or do you think it's more important to play against some really good teams and take some losses and kind of find your way?
I think it's better to play a little bit more difficult non-conference schedule. I mean, not everybody's going to go the Tom Izzo model. He's definitely the exception.
Yeah.
And he can do that because he's got a national title and five or six Final Four appearances and not worried about any kind of job security, and he usually has a veteran team. But, unfortunately, that's become more and more the norm, where people are playing more conservative or user-friendly non-conference schedules. You look at what Syracuse did. I mean, they didn't even leave the state of New York until, what, late December when they went to NC State. And, wow. And that's a program that was considered to be a top-five team coming into the season. Rick Pitino, they played two road games. They played at Butler, and then they played at Kentucky on New Year's Eve. Kentucky, I know they did play Kansas, and they did play Carolina and Louisville and Indiana, but they had a lot of patsies on the schedule. So everybody's doing it. It's unfortunate, but it seems to be the way of the world.
I mean, looking back, I don't think it was that bad of a non-conference when you're playing NC State, Kentucky, and, you know, Notre Dame was a lot better than people thought. I think Butler was scheduled.
Butler.
Better.
Evansville beat Creighton at home.
Evansville is pretty good. I don't think it was that bad. I think, you know, Matt and I were just talking about, NC Central, so I think we're all kind of caught up on that a little bit, which is still boggles my mind that they were put this late into the season. I don't even remember the last time, you know, a major conference school had a school like that this late in the season. But they responded last night, got a pretty big win. What do you take out of a game like that, even though it is against kind of a lesser opponent? Do you think it just helps just overall confidence going into a game like Minnesota?
It should. It should get more of a positive vibe. And some other – Remy Abel got a little bit more playing time. Austin Etherington got some. Pritchard got a little bit. Will Sheehy, I think, benefited from the most, he and Victor Oladipo, because Sheehy started, and he and Oladipo both brought energy and both brought defense to the team. The only guys that really didn't really get something out of it that I think that Tom Crean was wanting to get something out of it were Christian Watford, who didn't, it was 0-for-8 from the field, and Holt had several turnovers in the first half and didn't really get going either. But overall, I'd say, it changes the vibe of the team as they go on the road for their last road game.
And yeah, as you mentioned, Watford has been struggling of late, only 2 points in Wednesday night's win. And it kind of concerns you a little bit this late in the year to be going through a slump. Do you think this is, something that the Hoosiers should try and fix at this point? Or is it something you kind of just look away and hope it fixes itself and everything just kind of goes back to the way it was?
I think what Tom Crean will do is just tell him, just keep shooting. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. He's a guy with a track record. He's a guy who's proven, a number of games this year against good competition. He had 3 out of 5 threes against Kentucky. He had a big game at Michigan State. He's done it in the past. He just has to keep, not get conservative with his game. And, he's capable of playing better. He doesn't need to withdraw, and I think Tom Crean will keep playing him. And, what people have overlooked at times at Wofford this year is he has played better defensively, and he's played a variety of guys, whether it's big guys, perimeter guys. Wasn't it the Michigan game where he guarded one of the quicker guys on the perimeter for quite a bit? So
yeah.
He has contributed on defense more this year, but for them to really be successful, I think in the postseason, he's going to have to get back to the point where he's scoring, 12 to 15, and maybe have a big game one day to carry him through. Because usually in the tournament, you got to have at least 3 guys scoring fairly big numbers.
And one of those 3 guys who typically scores in those big numbers is Jordan Holes, and he's another guy that's recently kind of been struggling as well. He only had 5 points last night. He only took 3 shots. I mean, he's a guy that can really light it up from anywhere on the floor. And I don't know, the last 5 games or so, he's kind of, I don't know what it is, whether it's lost confidence or what, but he really hasn't been there on the offensive end, not even just missing, just not taking shots. Should people be concerned with his performance recently?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even Tom Crean, I believe, didn't he say that Jordan Holes and Matt Roth need to be more aggressive offensively? For whatever reason, Hull seems to be in a little bit of a mode where if he hits an early shot, then he'll take more. But if it's not working, then he does get conservative with his game. And, he has to play through that. He's such a good shooter that I think he's got to trust his shot more and be more aggressive and take shots, because he has shown at times this year that he's just not a catch-and-shoot 3-point guy, that he is able to get in the lane, hit some pull-ups, or even get in the lane and throw some bounce passes to Oladipo and Sheehy and Zeller for layups or dunks.
Now the Hoosiers are headed up to Minnesota this weekend to take on the Gophers, who they lost to last month by 3, and you were in Bloomington watching that game. What do you think of Indiana's chances this weekend? Do you think this is a game they should be able to bounce back in? Or do you think, you know, because the Gophers have shown they have had their number before, that this could be a tough game for them?
You know, there's a lot of ways you can look at this. I think one thing I'm looking at is from the Minnesota perspective, and as I mentioned at the beginning, I talked to Dan Barrero, who's a sports talk guy in Minneapolis, and Minnesota had a bad loss last night. They were up 7 with 6 minutes to go against Michigan State and closed out the game terribly with turnovers and air balls, and there were some boos, and Tubby Smith was pretty critical of his players in the post game in the press conference, and they're 5-10 in the league now, and they've got, I think, Wisconsin next week, and they're definitely on the bubble, and they might even be in a desperate situation where even if they would beat Indiana, my point, I guess, is I don't know how Minnesota's going to react to a loss like that, whether they're going to come back and say that we absolutely have to have this game, or there might be some people on that team that say, you know, this season is tanked, and, you know, they could come out as a beaten down team. Indiana, from its part, has to ignore that kind of stuff and say, I think it's a key game for Indiana. They want to finish the season by showing again they can win on the road against a decent team, and then they can come into that. They got a big week next week, obviously, with Michigan State at Purdue at home. Play well on the road, because I thought the Iowa game was their worst road game of the year, the way they started that game with the turnovers and not very good and some bad, silly fouls. So overall, I think Indiana will play better. What I'm not sure about is if Minnesota will just – have some resolve, or whether Minnesota will have some defeatism in them.
Indiana goes to Minnesota, then they play at home against Michigan State and finish the season with Purdue before the Big Ten tournament. What do you hope to see in these last three games heading into the Big Ten tournament?
What do you want to see from Indiana? I think you'd want to see Watford get going again offensively. You want to see Hulse contributing more offensively, but you want to see him play a little bit better on defense and make it harder for other teams to score consistently. In some of the games they've lost just this year, I think their defense, when they beat Kentucky, they played great defense. When they played Ohio State, after they fell behind 17-7, they played very good defense. But some of the games this year on the road, for whatever reason, they haven't brought the same mentality to defense, so you'd want to see that at Minnesota. And then, you know, Michigan State's going to be a physical team, show that they can play a physical game. And Purdue, I can't remember the last time Indiana swept Purdue. Just to that, to me, that's a key game too, because you don't want to, if you're any team, you don't want to lose your senior day game to your rival in your last regular season game. They need to win that game to have a positive note moving forward. 2-1 finish in those three games, I think, would be very good. 3-0 obviously would be phenomenal. 1-2, I think there'd be a little bit of head scratching, and to lose them all would be that would kill their momentum.
Yeah, you know, Indiana wants to avoid finishing the season like they did last year, losing out. Not a good way to go into the tournament this year. And you know, you mentioned desperate teams. I'm sure Purdue in particular is going to be giving it their all in that last game, having, you know, lost a guy recently, and having already lost to Indiana this year. Sure, they're going to be pretty pumped up for that one. Greg, what do you think about that game? Do you think the Hoosiers really need to kind of finish 2-1 the last three games to have some momentum going into the postseason?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Michigan State's kind of a toss-up, but I think Minnesota is key, just because, as Rick pointed out, just this team is just so bad away from Assembly Hall that you kind of need to just prove to yourselves and prove to everyone else that you can win on the road. So I think that's crucial. And then, you know, Purdue, it would be nice to sweep Purdue, you know, have a little bit of momentum heading into the Big Ten tournament. I don't know if necessarily Michigan State is a must win. They're obviously a really good team, probably a 1 or 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. So that's kind of a toss up there. But I think it's pretty important to get wins at Minnesota and against Purdue to finish the season. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say, Rick, this is something we talk about a lot with our guests, Indiana's struggles on the road, and it seems like everyone's got a different opinion on why they do struggle. Would you chalk it up to, you know, this is still kind of a rebuilding team, or do you think that's just the nature of the Big Ten, or why do you think Indiana in particular seems to be, you know, so challenged away from Assembly Hall?
I don't think there's ever just one reason. I think there's always a variety of reasons. Part of it has to do, Tom Crean mentioned after the Iowa game, he was upset with the leadership of the upperclassmen. If they came out in that game and had several careless turnovers before the first TV timeout, and Jordy Hulse picked up two silly fouls, that's not the way to start a game out on the road. I mean, it just shows a little bit of a lack of maturity or a lack of tenacity and not making mental mistakes like that. And I think that starts with some of its confidence, some of its focus, some of its sort of a memory bank of experience of knowing that you can win on the road. I mean, they won at NC State, which NC State's not a bad team this year. They won at Evansville. I know Evansville's in the middle of the pack in the Valley, but they beat Creighton. Creighton was a top 25 team. Mm-hmm. And they obviously won at Purdue, and that's not an easy place to win. So they can do it. To me, the two games that are in the category would have, if they would have won these two games, Nebraska and Iowa, people would have quit talking about it by now. And Nebraska game, they should have won. Hulse had that 1-1, didn't make it. They just didn't close the game out. Iowa game, to me, was more problematic because they never really, like, took it to Iowa. And defensively, Iowa got way too many easy baskets, I thought. And that's being ready to play a physical-type game and being the aggressor.
Now, I've got a well-placed source inside the Bozich family that tells me you've been to a couple of Final Fours over your career. Exactly how many have you been to over the years?
I've been to 30 of the last 31.
Wow.
And the only one I missed was to stay home for the arrival of the other male. Well, there's two male Bozichs now, his son. But I stayed home in 1982 when Alex was born. What might have been one of the greatest Final Fours ever. It was Georgetown with Ewing and all those guys against Louisville that had Derek Smith and the McRae brothers and Jerry Eves and those guys. And it was Carolina with Jordan and Worthy and Perkins, and Houston, Phi Slamma Jamma with Drexler and Olajuwon. And they had five NBA guys.
So looking back, Alex really ruined it for you.
Yeah, I'd have a streak going of 31, 32 Final Fours in a row. So, I've never brought that up to him.
And will you be in attendance this year?
Yeah, I'm planning on going down to New Orleans. My schedule's I've got this weekend Kentucky Vandy, and I'll be in Assembly Hall Tuesday for the Michigan State game. Louisville plays South Florida on Wednesday. I'm going to Syracuse the following weekend for Louisville-Syracuse, and I got the SEC tournament and two weekends of the NCAA tournament, and then the Final Four. So the good stuff's about to begin, and whatever games I'm not watching, I'm following on my laptop or my phone. So it's real exciting, and I love my job, and this is the best time of the year.
I was just going to say, that does sound like a great time to be a sports columnist.
Yeah, there's one regional down in Atlanta. Will you be there, Greg, for that?
No, right, Matt's in Atlanta.
I will be down there.
Oh, you're
there,
in D.C. Matt's in Atlanta. Okay. Sorry about that.
No problem. And I am hoping to be in attendance, and who knows, maybe I'll get a chance to see the Hoosiers down here if they get a favorable seating and bracket, and they made a tournament run down here under Mike Davis a couple years ago.
That was 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that's key for the way Indiana closes out this season is, you need to win games to improve your seed. They're probably a 4, maybe a 5 now, I'd say. You don't want to be a 6 or a 7 because you stack up the first game's harder, the second game's definitely harder, and they're playing for seeding right now, and they're probably going to be 5th in the Big Ten tournament, and I guess they'd play Penn State maybe the first game and then Wisconsin the second game. So, there's a lot to play for. Winning record in the Big Ten would be big. A better seed in the Big Ten tournament's big. A better seed in the NCAA tournament and possibly positioning yourself to being sent to Columbus or Louisville or Nashville or Pittsburgh, some place that IU fans could get to. They've got a lot to play for.
Yeah, you definitely don't want a first-round game out in Portland or New Mexico. Those seem like just the toughest games, and it does seem like over the years under Davis or Knight that the Hoosiers have always succumbed in those Western games. So definitely a lot to play for.
Bob Knight's last game, I believe that was in Buffalo, I think, against Pepperdine. But yeah, I mean,
really?
Yeah, they've had some tough assignments, and you know, as you guys have seen this year, because of what Indiana's been through the last 3 years, there's been a lot of pent up demand for this team, and the fan base is like has been on the sidelines for the last 3 years of the NCAA tournament, and so they're ready to sort of return to being what other college fans have enjoyed for so long. And I think if Indiana is positioned anywhere near an area that fans can get to, there'll be a huge amount of Indiana fans there. So if they can finish the season strong and get placed in Columbus or in Louisville or in Nashville, they'll have a huge turnout.
Yeah, Hoosier fans have a little leftover money from that football bowl budget over the years.
The last 40 years, yeah.
That's right, a little saved up. Well, Rick, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Great talking to you. Great insight. We really appreciate it. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me. Anytime, guys. See you down the road.
All right, we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we are going to talk more about the Gophers with Minneapolis Star Tribune beat writer Amelia Reno.
Welcome back to Podcast on the Brink. We are now joined by Minneapolis Star Tribune beat reporter for the Minnesota Gophers, Amelia Reno. How's it going, Amelia?
Pretty good, guys.
Now, Minnesota's coming off of a good showing, but a pretty bad finish, a 66-61 loss at home to Michigan State last night. I mean, what do you take out of a game like that? What kind of happened at the end there?
Well, unfortunately, that is not the exception for the Gophers. It's more like the rule for them this year. They've been through a handful of games that have looked very similar to that one. And, you know, I think that that's really going to be the one. They've had a lot of really disappointing losses this season, but I think that's really going to be the one where they look back and kick themselves if they, you know, fall short, as it looks like they will at this point. That was looked like they had it, you know, they had them in their hand. It would have been a huge win for them. It would have been great for the resume, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, and Minnesota was really one of the surprises of the Big Ten, I think, earlier this conference season, especially in January, and now they've lost four in a row and are really sliding. What's kind of happened recently to them? Is there something that in particular they're doing well earlier this year that's kind of gotten away from them?
No, you know, I don't think it's anything. I mean, I think the things that they're struggling with now are kind of the things they've been struggling with all season. This is a really young team, and they're very immature still in a lot of ways. They've got a lot of stuff to learn, and I think one of the biggest things about that is just being able to actually handle winning against big teams. I'm not sure they know how to do that yet. You know, they've had three of the last four games. They played Ohio State, they played Wisconsin, and then this game, Wisconsin they brought to overtime and then kind of collapsed. And with Ohio State, they had dug themselves such a huge hole. They went into a 21-point hole and ended up playing pretty well after that and could have had a chance in it, but it's just kind of this trend with them. They have spurts where you are really impressed and you think that they're a pretty good team, but they can't keep the intensity. That's been their biggest problem all season. They've had a lot of trouble holding on to that intensity for 40 minutes and not just, you know, getting caught up in it mentally and just sort of losing it in stretches.
Yeah, and what you said sounds really familiar to Indiana fans because they've seen the same thing out of the Hoosiers this year. You know, we've seen them do some amazing things and wins against Kentucky and Ohio State, and then some losses that, you know, just leave you scratching your head, like the one at Nebraska and at Iowa the other day. And that's something you wrote about for the Star Tribune, kind of about after IU lost to Minnesota back in January, about Indiana not really being able to handle the success yet. So is that something that's kind of similar between Minnesota and Indiana, would you say?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, you know, I'd say for Indiana, you know, they're obviously a team who hasn't had a lot of success in recent years. A lot of these guys, they don't know anything but losing, really. And I think it's the same for the Gophers right now. They have a lot of young kids who, you know, they haven't had a good season record-wise, and even though they've done some good things in games, they're not used to winning. They're not used to coming out on top. And sometimes I think that they don't believe they can when they get in those situations. Like last night, you have 6 minutes left in a game and you're up 7 points. And I think one of the big things there for good teams have to believe that they can win that game. And I'm not sure the Gophers believe they can win a game like that. At that point, I think they're going, okay, we've been sort of fooling them all this time. We just got to run the clock out, and their focus is running the clock out rather than actually finishing strong.
Now, as you kind of mentioned a second ago, just this team plays well for most of the game and then maybe just doesn't find a way to kind of win in the end. I mean, Trevor Mbakwe seemed like kind of the heart of this team and, you know, a big statistical leader, and he went down early. You know, how much would things be different if they had a guy down low like Mbakwe, and how has he kind of impacted this season?
Well, it's hard to say even, because this team would be so vastly different if Mbakwe was still playing. That I'm not sure you would be seeing, you know, anything. It's hard to compare, because if he was playing, you wouldn't be seeing the same guard play, I don't think. You wouldn't be seeing the freshman play that they have got. I'm not sure that they would have had the opportunities. One thing that the Gophers are definitely lacking right now is a leader, a go-to guy, somebody to hand the ball to at the end and have confidence that they're will be able to convert that last shot, to make that big last drive. The Gophers don't have anyone like that right now, and that was definitely Trevor. He's a guy that wants the ball at the end of the game. He's a guy that is, even now, still, you know, trying to pump these guys up on the sideline. He's a very vocal leader. And, yeah, that makes, when you don't have that, you feel that. There are two veterans right now, Rodney Williams and Ralph Sampson III. Those guys aren't very, they're just by personality, they're not very vocal. They're not very outgoing, and they're not necessarily the guy to take charge. So, yeah, you definitely feel that. I think maybe that might be one of the greatest hits they're feeling from losing Mbakwe right now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Minnesota's season hit one of its highest peaks last month when they did win in Bloomington. I think the Hoosiers were, at the time, the eighth or ninth best team in the country, and it really was a big win for them. What do you think it's going to take for the Gophers, you know, to kind of be able to repeat that this weekend and get another win over the Hoosiers?
Well, it's all about mental strength with this team. That's what they need right now, is confidence to believe they can do it. And I don't know what it's going to take, because in the last four games, that's been their biggest problem, is just beating themselves. The mental confidence has not been there. And I don't know how you manufacture that mental confidence without actually getting a win to stir it. So, you know, I think that's what happened earlier in the season when they beat Indiana there. That was the start of a four-game win streak for them, and, you know, the start of some actual buzz around this team. And then I think they were rolling, but they had to have some sort of spark to get that going. So, you know, I mean, I know they hope that Indiana can be that spark for them again. They certainly need it. I mean, everything for them is a must win at this point if they still want to get into the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I don't know. I think that's really as simple as it is. They just need to actually somehow get a hold of that confidence that they can can actually win against good teams.
Now, though Mbakwe went down earlier in the season, you know, some other guys have really stepped up, and one of those is Rodney Williams, who a lot of people think might be the most improved player in the Big Ten or one of the most underrated players in the conference. I guess, can you kind of talk about what he's done this season and what you maybe see him doing this weekend against Indiana?
Sorry, Rodney Williams?
Yes, Rodney Williams, yeah.
Rodney is a guy, I think he's grown a lot this season. He's always had the tools, you know, he's always been one of those guys that everyone's waiting to watch break out. And he's done that somewhat this year. He's definitely become a better player, but he still has a lot to prove. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, one of the things that he hasn't done as well as he needs to is step up and pull these guys. I mean, somebody needs to be a leader on this team, and he's the guy. I mean, he's the one. He needs to do that. And, you know, he just hasn't, at the end of games, he's not, he needs to be the one that's there, that's scoring, that's lifting them, that's, you know, telling these guys, hey, we've been playing well the whole game, we can continue this. So that's what the Gophers need to see from him. But, you know, as far as the tools, he certainly has those. He's, you know, a highlight reel just walking on the court. His athleticism is kind of freakish. But him really converting that into becoming a full player that the Gophers need him to be, I think it's still a work in process.
You know, from afar, it seems that Tubby Smith's done a pretty good job this year with the Gophers, considering Mbakwe went down, even though they've suffered a handful of painful losses, as you mentioned. Overall, the fact that they have 17 wins right now, I think, surprises some people. Are people in Minnesota, you know, happy with the job Tubby's doing right now, or is there kind of some unrest?
No. You know, I think it's funny. Everybody that I talk to outside of Minnesota says a lot of what you're saying about, you look at the team that he has, he doesn't have any stars. They had some really bad luck with, you know, in recent years with the transfers and then with Trevor getting hurt. And he's made this team competitive. Even if they're not winning a lot of games, they're competing with the best in the league. I think people around here, they're not looking at it that way. There's a lot of unrest right now with the fact that Tubby's been here now for 5 years and he hasn't really gotten anything done. And people expect more. Certainly, I think that if the Gophers go to the NIT this season, his job could be on the hot seat.
Looking at this weekend's game against the Hoosiers, is there a particular matchup you're interested in seeing, whether it be, you know, who guards Zeller down low or anything like that? Is there one that kind of stands out to you?
Yeah, well, I think Zeller will be interesting to watch. Zeller's really, really fun to watch anyway, and that is one of the Gophers' weaknesses right now is toughness down low, and that's, you know, something they're lacking. They've got size with Rob Sampson, but he's not a very aggressive center. So, you know, that's been a big problem for them, and that's something I think that they're going to need to overcome if they actually want to do anything against Indiana or going forward.
Yeah, I think, you know, this weekend's game is going to come down to a couple matchups, one of them being Zeller. But, you know, as Amelia, you really went in detail too. Indiana has the same problems with confidence and leadership, and they haven't been able to, you know, really play up to their potential on the road very often this season. So I'm not sure it's going to be an easy game for them to win. Greg, what do you think about this weekend's game?
Yeah, I think it's actually a really intriguing matchup just because both teams are sort of, I wouldn't say desperate. I think Minnesota is sort of desperate to get that win, you know, to make sure that they have a chance of making the NCAA tournament. At the same time, Indiana, as we kind of spoke about earlier, just really struggles away from Assembly Hall. So it's like they're also at the same time trying to prove they could win on the road. So I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. I mean, if I had to guess, I wouldn't be surprised to say Minnesota wins this game. I guess what's your take?
I think that it's kind of a little unlikely that Minnesota would sweep Indiana in the season series, but given how they've already played against them before, and now the fact that they get to play them at home, I think it's going to be a tough game for Indiana, too. Amelia, I guess just to kind of close, could you give us your take on this weekend's game and who you might think might come out on top?
Yeah, I think you guys are spot on about the matchup, and it is an interesting one, just considering in some ways the similarities of the teams. Minnesota is definitely the more desperate team right now, and the problem is they haven't actually shown that they can act on that. So, I think this game really comes down to mental toughness. If the Gophers can get some more of that, I think that they could win this game.
Yeah, it's amazing to hear you talk about Minnesota, as I said before, just because I think that's exactly the way most people who follow Indiana feel the same way about them. So it should be interesting to see who comes out on top. And Amelia, thanks so much for coming on the program. We appreciate you taking the time. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for that.
No problem. And that will do it for this episode of Podcast on the Brink. Thanks to Rick Bozich and Amelia Reyno for coming on the program. Great to speak with both of them. We'll be back next week, so check back with Inside the Hall. Until then, for Greg Rosenstein, I'm Matt Dollinger. Thanks for listening, and have a good one.
Play. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when